Recently, a dear brother, friend of mine, told me that after I had mentioned some time ago in a sermon that it was helpful for us to really pay attention to the words in our hymn book as well as the music, he said, "You know, Brother Sam, I started doing that." And he said, "I have been so blessed since I have really been listening to the message in the songs." He said, "I just got caught up in the music, the harmony, and had not really paid much attention to the message in the songs." Now, we don't believe our songbook is divinely inspired like the Bible is. The Bible, we believe, is given by the inspiration of God and is without error. And we believe God has preserved His Word for us here in 2023 as English-speaking people through the King James, the 1611 King James translation. How many of y'all are thankful for your Bibles? How many of y'all read your Bibles on a regular basis? Very helpful. The songbook was not divinely inspired without error. But I can tell you, I believe many men and women have been inspired by God to write a lot of these songs that are in our books. And we thank God for our hymn book. And this morning we were singing Amazing Grace, and I thought about what my brother said to me recently about paying attention to the words. So this morning I want to look with you at some length at the song Amazing Grace. Now we sung another song this morning, Grace is Free. Y'all remember us singing that? Are y'all glad grace is free? God doesn't charge anything for it. And if He did, we wouldn't be able to buy it. It's so priceless. But it's free. Grace is free. You know, there's an old saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, I want to tell you, God's grace is free. You don't have to pay for it. You don't even have to accept it. Because it's sovereign grace. I love that term, sovereign grace. Don't you all? Grace is not limited. Grace is sovereign. Meaning it has all power to do what God intended it to do. Grace. Amazing grace. And I want to notice with you in the beginning this morning, in Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 8, a very familiar verse that deals with the subject of grace. Paul would say in Ephesians 2 and 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, many of our brethren in the religious world would say, "Yes, Pastor, grace saves us. But it's through faith. It's through your faith. You have to reach out by faith and appropriate that grace." But you see, when we were dead in sin, we didn't have any faith in God. So I believe the faith here in this text is talking about the fidelity of God, the faithfulness of God. Y'all believe God is faithful? The Bible presents Him, "Great is thy faithfulness," the Word says. So when Paul says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith," that is through the faithfulness of our God, keeping His covenant promise. God is faithful. Paul said to the young preacher Titus, and I may just turn over and read that, In Titus chapter 3, Paul would say something wonderful about the faithfulness of God. This is Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now, God promised eternal life. Now, if he's not a faithful God and he doesn't keep his promise, what good is that promise? I knew a brother down in Lawrence County who had three sons. And I remember him telling me one time, he said, "Brother Sam, I got the most promising sons in Lawrence County. They'll promise you anything." But they didn't keep their promises a lot of the time. Well, what good would God's promise be if God didn't keep his promise? But listen, in hope of eternal life, that's life beyond time in heaven, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised. And when did God promise that? Before the world began. And Paul was very careful to tell us that God cannot lie. If he promised it, you can be sure he's going to keep that promise. So when Paul says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You know, so many people are deceived into thinking that in order to go to heaven, you're going to have to live a good life. And your good works are going to have to be more than your bad works. And at the final judgment, God is going to bring up all your good works and all your bad works. And if you've got more good works than bad works, you get to go to heaven. That would not be a gift. That would be something you earned, wouldn't it? But Paul says that eternal life is a gift. Now, if you charge somebody for a gift, it's not a gift. But I want to tell you, grace is free. Grace is sovereign, and grace has saved us from our sins. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, beloved, when you hear somebody boasting about what they have done in order to go to heaven, you just know they're mistaken. They're deceived. That heaven is going to be a place where God gets all the glory, and you and I won't be walking around boasting about anything. Now let's look at the hymn this morning written by John Newton. And I can't imagine anybody more appropriate to write this song than John Newton was. John Newton would say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." John Newton was a wretch, just like you and I are wretches. How many of y'all this morning do know that by nature you are a wretch? You may think, "Well now, Pastor, I didn't come over here to be called a wretch." But I want to tell you, by nature we are all wretched sinners. And John Newton was a wretch. He had a very rough childhood. And when he grew up, he became a slave driver. He would go to Africa and buy slaves and bring them back to England. And let me tell you, they didn't treat those slaves very nice. They put them in the bottom of the ship, and they were treated like animals. And Newton was mean to them. He was cruel to the slaves. And in the taverns of England, London, England, it was said that the harlots would blush when this man cursed. Are y'all getting the picture? He was a wretch. And I'm sure men had tried to change him, but nobody could. You know who changed John Newton? God's amazing grace. And let me tell you, it was grace that changed me. And it was grace that changed you. Now your change. You know, I used to hear Primitive Baptists talk about their change. You would read about it in our church papers when people would be writing about their experience of grace. They would talk about the day when their change came. And that really had reference to the time when God sovereignly worked in their heart and convicted them of their sins and changed them and gave them a new and spiritual life. It's a wonderful change that God can bring about. You and I can't bring that about in anybody's life, but God can. And he did in the life of John Newton. And John Newton became such an amazing man. I have a book at home that has a lot of his letters in them. And I can tell you, that man was amazing because of God's amazing grace. It changed him and made him one of the finest hymn writers of all time. And without John Newton, I tell you, our songbook would be deficient. And we praise God today that he was blessed to write such beautiful poetry. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And did you know it was that same grace that called Saul of Tarsus, who was a blasphemer? He was like a wild man. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem and have them tried. But God arrested him on his way to Damascus and struck him down. And his change came on the Damascus Road. Now your change may have come when you were a little baby in your mother's arms. We have a brother in the church today. I won't call his name. I wouldn't want to embarrass him. But he probably wouldn't mind. Would you, Brother Mike? Might as well. Brother Mike Shepherd shared with me last Sunday that ever since he was a little child, as far back as he can remember, he loved God and loved to go to church and loved his Bible. You know, that's amazing, isn't it? That God could cause a little boy to be like that. God, our God, can even change a baby while it's still in its mother's womb. How many of y'all believe that? We're talking about sovereign grace this morning. We're not talking about weak grace. We're talking about the grace of God that can change people. Now, Newton knew something about it. And I'm so glad he wrote this song, Amazing Grace. You know, it's... At Vestavia one Sunday after service, I tried to preach on grace. I said, let's sing our national anthem. And I remember one of our new members looked at me like, what? We're going to sing the national anthem? I said, the Primitive Baptist national anthem is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You'll hear it played at all kinds of occasions. I mean, they love it in New York City. Right after the 9/11 event took place and those towers came down and they were having those funerals, you heard Amazing Grace being played constantly throughout the city of New York. It is amazing, beloved. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Does it sound sweet to you this morning? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. You know what? We ought not even need a songbook to sing that. We ought to know it by memory. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. See, grace didn't offer you salvation. Grace didn't make it possible for you to do something in order to save yourself. Grace just saved you. You know, when the angel appeared to Joseph in Matthew 1 and 21, and listen, that's a verse all of y'all need to memorize. Every Primitive Baptist in America ought to be able to memorize that verse and really ought to be able to say it in your sleep. The angel said to Joseph, the angel Gabriel, one of the great angels of all time, appeared to Joseph and said, don't fear, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, that which you conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth, she might bring forth a son. Thou might call his name Jesus, for he might end up saving somebody. Is that what the angel said? No. I'm glad to see a lot of y'all shaking your heads. The angel said, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, primitive Baptists have been called hard shells. And I don't resent being called a hard shell. They tell me that things come out of hard shells are a lot better. They fly away. Soft shells like spiders, snakes. I don't resent being called a hard shell, but I think what that term originally came from was our brethren stressed so much the shells of the Bible until we were called hard shells. How many of y'all are hard shells this morning? See, God didn't say I might do it. He said he shall do it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. You know what? You and I can be so familiar with something until we lose the blessing of it. Familiarity can lead to contempt, but familiarity can also lead to complacency. You can be so familiar with this song till you don't even hear it anymore. I knew a pastor one time in Texas who was a pastor of a church, and I was in his home, and he said, I'm going to resign Sunday. I said, why? He said, see that clock up there on the mantle? He said, it's one of those TikTok clocks. But he said, I've been hearing it so long, I don't even hear it anymore. He said, those folks over there have been hearing me preach so much, they don't hear me anymore. I'm going to give them up. And I'm glad he changed his mind about that. But you know what? It is possible, isn't it? Nelda loves a tick-tock clock. It kind of soothes her. But I tell you, I can't sleep with one ticking. I just can't. I have got up many a night in people's homes where they had one of those electric clocks that made the noise, and I'd unplug it. Couldn't sleep with it. One night, I got to a home in Washington, D.C., Elder Jim Compton's home. Lived to be 100 years old. He was a jeweler. He owned a jewelry shop, the nearest retail store to the White House. He did business with the presidents and the congressmen. And he had a beautiful, beautiful grandfather clock in his house. I got in there one night about 11 o'clock, extremely tired. They put me on a third floor of his house, and there was traffic going by, and I was very tired, but I couldn't sleep. And that grandfather clock kept on waking. Every time I'd doze off, it'd wake me up. I finally got up and went and asked Brother Jim, now you can see my situation. I needed a night's rest. I was expected to be preaching the next day. So I got up and got an old man out of his bed and asked him if he could please turn that clock off. See, they didn't hear it anymore. The next year when I went back, you know, they never had turned that clock back on. Afraid it might disturb other guests. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when you hear the grace of God talked about, don't be complacent about it. You wouldn't it be glorious every time we hear grace mentioned, we got as excited as when we first heard it? Wouldn't that be something? Amazing grace. Now listen to what else the hymn writer says. He said, listen to this verse. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Now what does that mean? Well, that means when God's grace comes into your life and you're born again and your change comes, God reveals to you that you are a sinner. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Do any of you remember a time when God began to reveal to you your sins and you saw for the first time that you are a sinner? Come on, folks. Wake up. Have y'all ever had that experience? Do you know you're a sinner? Do you remember when God's grace began to work in your heart and mind and reveal to you that you are a sinner? I remember when I was about 12 or 13 years old, we were sitting in the hall down at my mama's house shelling butter beans. And my brother Franklin looked over at me and he said, you know what they started calling me? Sad Sam. And you know why they call me Sad Sam? Because God had convicted me of my sins. Before I ever saw amazing grace, I saw Sam as a wretched sinner, and I was sad. That was my nickname, Sad Sam. And Franklin looked over at me and said, Sam, why are you looking so sad? And I remember saying, I just tell you, I'm a sinner. God's grace will teach you that. But listen to what else Newton says. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Yeah. Oh, my soul, when I was blessed to hear the gospel of my salvation, the gospel of grace, with hearing ears and an understanding mind, let me tell you, it wiped that old frown off of my face and put a smile on it. Grace taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Now let's just think a moment this morning. What if you and I had to stand before the judge of all this earth, and he knows every last thing about you, every thought you've ever had, every deed you've ever done, and he's going to judge you based on your life? That'd be scary, wouldn't it? But if you know that Jesus took your place on the cross, he was judged in your place, and he took your sins as his very own, and he gave you his righteousness. He imputed his righteousness to you, so that when God the Father looks on you today, you know what he sees? He sees his Son's righteousness imputed to us. I tell you, that will bring joy to your heart. Now let's look on. Through many dangers, this has been one of my favorite verses in the whole hymn book. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. You know, in this life, we do have many dangers and toils and snares. We all have a rough road to travel. But you know what? God's grace is sufficient, isn't it? That's my testimony this morning. When I was 10 years old, my father was afflicted with a stroke. One day, he's a healthy, strong farmer and husband and father and pastoring three churches and making a living and, you know, just doing great. And the next day, he's stricken with a stroke. He can't talk. His body's paralyzed. His mind is damaged. Many of you in this building today remember my father in that broken condition. As a 10-year-old boy, it changed my world. It turned my world upside down. But you know what? God's grace was sufficient. For my mama, God's grace was sufficient. Got mama. You know, Daddy didn't have any savings. I remember when we brought him home from the hospital, somebody out of love had brought in a leather recliner. We didn't have anything like that in our house. It was an anonymous gift to my dad. And the church, you know what? The churches around here started paying his hospital bills. Soldiers lined up to give him blood at the old Claxton Hospital in Dublin. God made a way where there was no way. And I want to say to everybody in this house today, God's grace will be sufficient for you in your life, in your trials, in your tribulations. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. I'm sure everybody in this house today is dealing with some problem of some kind. Health problem, family problem, financial problem, all kind of problems in our world. But I just want to tell y'all, God's grace is sufficient. If it could save us from hell to heaven, it can certainly help us in the problems of life. Well, okay, there's seven verses in here. And if I spend much time on each verse, I'll keep y'all here too long this morning. You know, my watch that I had, it finally played out. It was a good watch, but it finally played out. I went to Walmart the other day to buy one, and I had this lady helping me, and I said, I'm a pastor, and I need a watch. And she said, good. And I said, have you ever heard a preacher preach too long? She said, oh, yes. I said, well, probably his watch was broke. Oh, no, he kept looking at it. But it didn't do any good. Preachers need to be mindful of the people. Listen, amazing grace. Let's look at that last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, been where? In heaven, in resurrected, glorified bodies. When we've been there 10 million years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. So it's appropriate for us to be here this morning, spend a little time on Sunday in his house worshiping him. May God give you the understanding of his grace.